Ciao Bella.
Ciao Bella. Buongiorno.
Oh, wow. It feels crazy that this time last week, where were we?
Garda.
Oh, we were in like Garda.
Garda. What a lovely time that was.
So lovely. I have my rocks here.
All of your rocks that we got you.
All of my rocks for my fish tank. I have to get a new fish for all of my rocks.
Oh, no, not again.
My most recent one passed away, unfortunately. So it's time for a new one.
The fish serial killer strikes again.
Strikes again. She is nothing but consistent.
She is nothing. If not consistent, she's going to have a fish and it's going to die. Okay, well, I feel like let's just talk about Italy because I'm not over it yet.
Let's reminisce. I feel like the people have been asking.
Dying to know.
Dying to know what we got ourselves into the past week. And so we're going to tell y'all. We're going to give you the 411. We're going to give you the hot goss. We're going to make you feel as if
you were right there
along with us.
Yeah.
So first things first, Kate is coming from a wedding.
I did a lot.
Kate did the most leading up to it.
Yeah. What did I do? So Saturday, I woke up early, drove to pick up my friend, and then drove us to my first wedding dress alteration appointment. So I did that. Then I went back, got some lunch, dicked around for the day. And then I went to the airport and I flew to Virginia. And I had to go out at the minute I landed, everyone was like, come to the welcome party. And I was like, I don't want it. But I did because I'm a team player. And then from there, I went to bed. I woke up in Virginia, went on this like super fucking sweaty history walking tour of Virginia that I didn't want to go on. But I am a good daughter and my dad
but you're
really
with
wanted to.
Your dad and dads obviously like to do historical walking tours.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I'm a good daughter. I'm going to do it. So I did that. And then we got back, had to get ready for the wedding, went to a wedding, went to the after party for a grand total of 10 minutes and said, this is not my journey today. I'm leaving. Left, went to bed, woke up early, went to the airport, flew to New York City, to JFK. So hungover. I was not doing well. Not even in the slightest. Got to New York. Nicole finally met me like 2 hours later.
Finally? No, it was not 2 hours.
You're like, I'll leave at 11:15, at like 12:30. You're like, on my way. And I was like,
You landed at 12 o'clock.
No, but I landed early.
It was not 2 hours. You're being so dramatic.
It felt like 2 hours because I was dying and I just wanted my friend there. So then we got to go into the Delta Sky Lounge, which was luxurious. And I had 4 beverages in front of me. I had water. I had fountain Coke. I had iced coffee and I had champagne. A little hair of the dog plus some remedies. And we just hung out there until we boarded our flight to Milan.
Which was actually pretty painless.
Pretty painless. I slept for a lot of it.
I honestly slept more on the plane back to New York than I did on the plane to Italy. I was so tired.
Yeah, we did my favorite sleep remedy concoction on the plane there, which is 2 Benadryl and a couple glasses of red wine. Perfection.
Mine was I had 2 glasses of champagne and then also a glass of red wine and a Benadryl.
Yeah.
That was mine.
Yeah.
And it fell asleep pretty easily, but like, you know when you have to sleep and your brain is like so like neurotic about how many hours of sleep you're going to get that you can't possibly sleep. Like that's how it was where I was like, okay, we only have like 6 more hours in the flight. And like, I have to go to bed now because I have to be well rested. Yep. And my brain was like, but what if you thought about everything else and you didn't go to sleep?
I know. So I felt pretty good. I listened to my rain sounds, my like classic white noise. I slept pretty well. And then we landed in Milan. We did some eye patches on the plane.
Shout out Hero Cosmetics.
Looking fresh, looking refreshed.
We couldn't show up in Italy looking crusty and dry.
Absolutely not. We had some facial mist. We had some eye patches. We were feeling good. We were in our matching sets. Nothing could be better. Landed there, hung out for a while, got some food, got some coffee until our train that we got on. Round one of amazing race preparations for us.
Guys, this was a really big amazing race week for us.
We had a lot of things that we did that we were like, this is... Mm-hmm.
We're training. And we're also it got us thinking about all of the things we actually need to prep. Yeah. Like, upon arrival into Italy, we decided that it was of the greatest necessity that we have several passports.
Several.
So that we can pick the quickest line to enter a country.
So at the moment, we both obviously have U.S. passports. As soon as I get married to Nick, I'm eligible for an Italian passport because he is an Italian citizen. So I have to – I'll get that. And that's my, like, EU passport. Nicole now needs to marry someone from the EU so that she can have that. And then when we landed at home, we realized, actually, what we really need to do is find out a way to become diplomats.
Diplomats, because they get the fastest entry.
Absolutely go in.
So the new bit is that we do have to become diplomats. Volley for diplomatic positions within Joe Biden's cabinet. Joe will be hearing from us. We don't have any formal training, but I think that could be a good angle for us. Like, we're bringing a fresh perspective to foreign affairs.
And we're international relations, really. Yeah. I think we could do it.
So
what does it take to become a diplomat? I'm going to Google this. How to get a diplomat.
I think we can also be married to diplomats. So I could marry a diplomat as well. And I think I get that access as well. So,
okay, here it is. Apply for diplomatic passports. Well, it's just telling me I can apply. And I know that's fake. How do you become a U.S. diplomat? Steps to becoming a diplomat include earning at least a bachelor's degree. Done. obtaining political work experience and passing the Foreign Service Officer Test. Okay, we got to do that.
Okay, we'll start studying.
Diplomats can pick specialty titles ranging from ambassador and foreign service officer to consular officer. That feels fine.
That feels easy enough.
Yeah. All right. I think who's eligible for a diplomatic passport? Diplomatic passports are primarily granted to foreign service officers. If you are not a foreign service officer and do not qualify for a diplomatic passport, but you are traveling for official business, you are required to have an official passport. We were flying for official business.
Okay, how hard is it to become a U.S. diplomat? It is very hard to become a diplomat.
Oh, damn.
Diplomats typically need a lot of education and exceptional analytical, organizational, and leadership skills. We have all of those. They also must have the ability to communicate clearly and effectively in both written and oral context. Okay, easy. That's a stupid, how hard is it? Okay.
Okay, how to become a foreign service officer. After clearing all three stages, i.e. prelims, mains, and personality tests, the selected candidates have to go through the IFS training.
Okay, so we just have to get a job at a U.S. embassy. That's the key.
Okay, the FSO selection process is a marathon, not a sprint, that nearly 15,000 to 20,000 aspiring FSOs attempt each year for only a handful of open spots. Damn. There will be moments during the selection process that require your full attention and other times when you won't do anything for weeks or months. Oh no, the FSOT pass rate is historically around 30 to 40%.
It's not looking good for us, so maybe...
No, it is not.
We have to think about a different strategy, but I'm not counting it out.
Ugh.
Stranger things have happened to the two of us than us becoming diplomats, I feel like.
The age of the ambassador when nominated the first time ranges from 38 to 66. We don't have time for that.
We don't have time for it. Okay, well, new goal, we're the youngest diplomats in U.S. history.
It is difficult to become a foreign services officer.
Damn. I'm hearing a lot of negative energy.
This is a lot very negative for us, but I think we could.
I think we could do it.
Yeah. No,
we put our minds to it. We can really do anything, you know?
Yeah. I think we're going to be fine.
So, we're going to be fine.
Next goal is to become foreign service officer. So you heard it here first.
So the next stage of the bit is to become
foreign service officer so that we are diplomats. Do you think diplomats are allowed to compete on the Amazing Race? I feel like what if we...
Why wouldn't they?
I don't know. What if we have like too high of clearance and they're like, we don't... I don't know. I just feel like maybe like public then officials we, not well,
allowed. The, I think the issue would be maybe we're targets in foreign countries then, you know?
I don't want to get
and our lives are on the line.
Hold on. Can diplomats go on the Amazing Race? How do the US contestants on the Amazing Race get visas? Here we go.
No, we don't need a visa.
I know, but they were saying other things. No one has answered this Reddit question.
I'm sure the Amazing Race takes care of all of the visa applications. I can't imagine that they make you do that.
Okay, uh-oh. One of the suggested questions here is, can anyone be on the Amazing Race? I don't want to bring more negative energy here. It does say, both members of each team must be United States citizens and be living in the United States. Check mark. We're on. Okay. Next part is where it gets dicey. Both members of each team must be in excellent physical and mental health.
Okay. Listen, they don't have to know. Also, you and I just, all we have to do is Photoshop our bodies to make it look like we're in physical shape, and we send each in a video.
Each team must authorize producers to conduct a background check.
Okay, well, I had to do that for my job, too, so that's fine. It's not like you and I have a disability, just because we're a little crazy sometimes.
I did go for a run today.
So proud of you. Thanks. So I don't know what you're talking about with that.
Okay, here's the eligibility. Both members must be 21 years or older. Done. Both members, United States citizens. Done. Excellent physical and mental health.
If you keep really coming back, that's a maybe. Who's to say?
That's a yellow. Both members of each team must authorize producers to conduct a background check. Green light. We can do that. Oh no. Hey, go deeper on it. All semi-finalists must undertake physical and psychological examinations and testing to meet all physical and psychological requirements.
Shit.
We gotta go to boot camp.
Okay, but we certainly can't be the most physically unfit people who've ever applied to have been on the
I'm gonna race. Have to look at every single applicant. I'm going
to the meet this season.
Oh, okay. Applicants who are selected as contestants cannot be candidates for public office until after the initial broadcast of all programs in which they appear. So we cannot be diplomats, I don't think.
But also,
contestants will be selected based upon having the following traits: strong-willed, outgoing, adventurous, physically and mentally.
You think this guy is potentially more physically fit than us? He's like 80 years old. Yeah.
Okay. Adaptable to new environments, interesting lifestyles, backgrounds, and personalities. We definitely have that. But we are selected based on having physically and mentally adept. I'm just saying. For two girls that joke about having mental illness a lot on this podcast,
they're gonna be like, "You've joked about it too much."
We go for our psychological evaluations. We passed that.
They pull up the receipts. They're like, "How about any of these times you said that you were mentally unwell?" We're like, "No shit, okay."
I'm seeing in your bank statements that you pay for therapy quite often. You know what? That's called mental health.
That feels like discrimination, and that feels like something that they actually are not allowed to ask for. This is a job. And just like I'm suing companies that ask for photos in job applications, I'm taking on the Amazing Race.
I am kind of – here's what I'm worried about. This is what I'm worried about. It says that you can be filmed up to 24 hours a day. What if I have an EBM? An emergency bowel movement.
I don't think that they're gonna film you. I don't think they're gonna film you having a shitting moment in the bathroom.
I don't know. They've done worse.
Unless you were that woman on that Delta flight to Spain who had diarrhea running down the aisles, and they had to turn the flight around. I don't think that's gonna make the final cut. Okay.
Disgusting. We have to check. Okay. Anyways, we're back in Italy now. So we're in Italy. We took a couple trains. We did make it. We made it there. And then we were in Rio Maggiore in Cinque Terre for 2 days. And the first night, as most of you saw on our Instagram. We went out to dinner. Prior to this dinner, we had had a couple drinks already. Yep. We had some apps, and we like went to this restaurant that had like really good like seafood and pasta. So we sit down, and our waiter comes over, and we were just like, "Oh, can we have like a liter of the house red?" Yep. A very normal request.
Reasonable request.
Very reasonable. And he said, we only do 0.5 liters because 1 liter is too much. And we said,
we've been challenged by our waiter that he said we could not drink an entire liter of wine. And one thing about us is that we do not lose. So, half a liter down, we're on to the second half. And he said, if we win, we can ask for anything we want. So
this feels like a half. This is a half. You know, we already
finished one. I'm saying we have a half liter down already.
We have a whole liter down. Oh. I think this is a half.
Right.
Each one of these is a half.
Right, and we finished one already.
Yeah.
So that we've finished a half.
So
anyways, he said we could ask for anything we wanted if we win. So we will be getting this meal for free and bottoms up.
Okay, we'll be getting a liter. And then he said, if you do that, then you
he said most people find one to be too much. And yeah. We said, well, you're talking to the wrong girls. Bring us all of the wine.
Bring us a liter of wine.
And he said, okay, well, if you drink that much, you can get whatever you want. And if you can't drink that much, I'll get whatever I want.
And we said, we surely don't want to give you what you want.
We know what you want.
And we're not.
Psychopath. And that gross. Is a threesome. And you're not getting that from us.
Absolutely not. I just kept putting my hand with my engagement ring further and further on the table. I'm telling so you. Could see it.
Yeah, guess what? He probably did see that. And then he took me as a target. Because by the end of the night, he was mad that I didn't give him my cell phone number. And I said, sir, you look like Colin Robinson. You're not getting my phone number. Maybe if you were hot, but you're not. So Kate and I say, we accept this challenge. We accept this challenge, okay? Yeah. And we say, keep them coming. Now, we drink 2 liters of wine.
Because we were not going to just meet the challenge. We were exceeding the challenge.
And he goes at the end. So Kate and I are pretty drunk. We're having a good time. We're the loudest people in this restaurant. We're so sorry 100%. To anyone who had to be near us. But also, we ordered some food. And I go, is this too much food for the two of us? And our waiter goes, no, it's going to be fine. It was far too much food the two of us. And we ordered mussels or clams or whatever.
We ordered mussels.
As an appetizer. And then they didn't come until after we were done with our food. And then he was like, why are you eating it? And I was like, because I don't want fucking mussels when I want tiramisu right now.
Well, he was like, do you want dessert? And I was like, no, apparently we have mussels.
Yeah, apparently you still have to bring us our mussels to eat. It was just a chaotic experience.
And then and then he moved the finish line on us.
Yeah, and then he goes, we go, okay, well, we did it. And he goes, no, you didn't. And we're like, yeah, we did.
We actually did more.
5 liters, and we said, you moved the finish line.
Absolutely did
asshole.
Not say 5 liters. That was so
and crazy. So we said, fine, no one wins, bring us a check.
Shan't be doing anything.
He thought that he was gonna have drinks with us after his shift ended. He thought that he was gonna get us home. Guess what, buddy? No fucking shot. No,
I could be drunk as all hell, and that would never have happened.
No, absolutely
nobody can make me
that.
Do anything I don't want to do.
No. So
we booked it home.
We book it home. We get some gelato. There's a storm brewing.
There's a cat
out
on the
in the
street.
Ocean. There's Kate and I are petting the cat. Also, Kate and I are wearing high heels.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if
we looked cute.
Yeah, we looked really cute if you saw her live. But Rio Maggiore is really, really steep. And it's like cobblestone streets.
It's like San Francisco roads, but like all cobblestones and rocks. Yeah. And everyone's wearing Tevas and Birkenstocks and hiking boots. And we're out here in our like little dresses and skirts and like high heels. Not a single person did not stare at us. Every eye in Rio Maggiore was on us that night.
Talk of the town.
Everyone was like, these girls are so dumb.
And
not the first time people have thought that.
So walking up actually was not that bad because we were so drunk. Like, I don't
I mean, it wasn't even hard during the day. Not to toot my own horn, but I feel like I'm pretty good at walking in heels. So, like,
good. Amazing Race, we are physically fit to be able to walk up hills in high heels. We try and do that.
Cobblestone hills in high heels. And then eventually throughout the night, we kept seeing other people that were wearing heels, but a very small amount of people. But still, we felt vindicated by that.
So Kate and I get back to our room. We have a little terrace that's overlooking the town, overlooking the ocean. We're watching the thunderstorm out at sea, drinking a little more water, trying to come down from our very, very drunkenness. And we're getting ready to go to bed.
We've been out there for like 2 hours, by the way.
Yeah, we've just been chatting. It's you know, pretty low key. And then we're getting ready to go to bed, and there's a man banging on our Airbnb door. He's yelling in Italian, banging. Okay? And
absolutely just Italian gibberish on the other side, and we're like,
Kate's in the bathroom. I am out.
She didn't even answer the door. Answer the door.
I don't know what was funny at the door. I'm not answering the fucking door in a fucking strange city. I don't know what the fuck that is.
I'm still pooping.
That's not my business. It's not Eduardo. If he had a key, he could fucking open it if he wanted to. It's not my business. So he can text me.
Oh, your phone is here. Please turn your phone. You're abducted, dude. I'm so scared.
Okay. I think my phone was in the bathroom.
You're literally naked because
I was changing.
Just cutting out of the shower. I closed the door of the bathroom. I said, I am letting Nicole handle this.
Yeah, Kate goes, that's a boy job. Nicole's going to handle this. I'm like, I'm not answering the door in a foreign country to a random man who's use your fucking brain, dude. And so this goes on for like 5 minutes and I'm just still, I'm standing. I don't want you to see my shadow moving underneath the door. I don't need to know I'm here at all. I'm like, I just let it lie. So finally it stops. And I go to Kate and we're like, okay, fuck, what are we going to do? We go out onto the balcony. We're like, we got to have an escape plan. So we're trying to think about, we're on the second floor. We're like, all right, we're going to have to drop down to the balcony below. We're going to have to hop onto that thing. Maybe we'll climb up. We don't know. We're going to have to figure it out.
I'm like, I think it might be easier to climb up because we can get onto the rails here and then we just grab the ones above us. And adrenaline is going to help us pull ourselves up. Physical fitness. So we're there and we're like, well, if someone comes in, we're going to need to be able to like protect ourselves. And we also we don't want them to find any weapons in our Airbnb. So we go into the kitchen and we're opening every single drawer until we find the drawer that has the knives in it. So I have like 4 giant knives in my hands. And what's left for Nicole is a corkscrew, a paring knife, and two pairs of scissors,
and the pizza cutter.
Don't forget the pizza cutter. I was like, he was yelling in Italian. They know how to kill someone with a pizza cutter. I know that. So then
we're like in bed with our weapons. They come back. They're knocking again. They're ringing.
No,
our
they're
doorbell.
Not knocking. They're banging.
Yeah, they're banging. There's like buzzing. Someone's downstairs buzzing and someone's knocking. And then there's a woman with them. And I'm like, we're trying to get trafficked. Kate and I have put on Instagram a location of our Airbnb. And this is our Kim Kardashian moment. Someone's trying to break into our hotel room and traffic us. This is not going to be good. Yeah. And I'm like emailing our Airbnb host. And I'm like, is it you? Like, what do you need something? And he's like, it's not me. And I'm like, oh my God. And he's like, okay, well, there's other Airbnbs in the unit in the building, so it might be they might think that that's their Airbnb. And so we're like, well, we're not going to stick around to find out. The motto for this trip, not our business. We
not my business.
Heard things and we said that's not our business. We're not getting into that today because straight and narrow. Two girls in Italy. We're not messing around.
No.
And thankfully, we did not get trafficked. We did not get kidnapped. And we made it to our boat day the next day.
But at what cost?
At what cost?
So we wake up and I just look over at my side table and I see 4 knives lined up. And I was like, This is what's happening for us right now. So we have to leave for our bow day. And we're like, what if they're outside still? So we are absolutely creeping out of this Airbnb. We are creeping down the stairs.
We're like, we got to get out of here. If they come back during the day, that's not our business. Again, if they break in and see all of our knives, again, not our business. We won't be here to find out.
So we get to our boat day. It's very fun. It's very relaxing. We swam in the Mediterranean. Very fun. There was like seven other people on the boat with us, or five other people on the boat with us. They're all hammered. They want to keep drinking. And Nicole and I are like, this is our chill day.
Wine. Think that you're going to get me to drink more wine, please don't. I found a rogue edible that I had in my purse that I had made it in. And I said, I am so seasick and I'm so hungover. Like, I'm nursing this 5 milligram edible all day. I'm taking tiny bites, trying to like not She's have giving, all day.
You were giving Squidward trying the Krabby Patty for the first time. Just absolutely like.
Just the littlest of nibbles. And the boat day is from like 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And it was so long. Granted, it was very fun. But then towards the end of the day, it started to like get stormy and choppy and raining. And literally, I really appreciated this because he wanted us to have like our money's worth and like take the full time.
And we didn't end up leaving until 10:30. So he was like, all right, we'll stay out until 5:30.
And it's pouring rain. We're just like anchored in the port, like in the bay, and all of us are just like drunk and tired and looking around at each other like, and I'm just like, hey Massimo, like, let's just wrap this up, like, let's just, we don't care, we all voted and we want to go back now. And so he's like, okay, let's go. And we're just like, we're done, like, please.
And then of course we get back, no rain, sunny and beautiful out, and then 10 minutes later
started raining again,
so bad. So we went and got some drinks across from, like, next to this little carousel.
Yeah.
And you guys, we have an announcement to make. We do have a new line coming out of merch, and it's called Italian Streetwear Collection, inspired by the people that we saw in Italy and, like, some iconic outfits, including a 7-year-old boy who had the most iconic outfit on that you'll – we're not going to tell you about it right now. You're just going to have to wait and see when it goes
on. You have to wait and see. It's going to be epic, though. It's like we had to take a photo and be like, we are channeling our inspiration.
Yeah. Italian Streetwear Collection 2023.
It's going to be perfect.
Fall, winter 2024.
Then we proceeded to have the worst pizza of our lives.
Yeah. That was the worst pizza I've ever had in my entire life. It was just bland. It had no flavor. And I was like, where am I? I'm in Italy and this is not real.
We were at some tourist trap.
The photos looked really good and it looked really nice.
Yeah.
But it tasted like soggy nothing.
Trash.
Anyways, we went to bed.
We headed back. Well, we headed back into town. We got some gelato. We wandered around a little bit.
You're right. Yeah, we did.
We were tired though. It was a long day. And then we had to be up early because we were heading back to Milan, meeting up with fiance Nick. Grabbing a rental car, driving up to Lake Garda.
He did get us the best sandwiches of all time, though.
Yeah.
Those were
bomb. I don't remember the name of the place, but they're, like, notoriously good. They just opened one in New York. It was, like, a whole big thing. But honestly, Kate, we, like, the three of us just, like, sat in silence in our hotel room and devoured these sandwiches. They were so good.
So good.
But yeah, then we hopped in the car. We did a little scenic drive up to Lake Garda, where Nick's family is originally from. So he had a little pilgrimage, which was really nice. I felt really honored to be in the presence of that pilgrimage.
It was really sweet. Yeah. So Nick's mom was born in Garda and raised for a few years there, and they used to go there a lot when he was younger. So it was really special to kind of see that, and Nick remembered a lot of different things that were around. He got to reunite with the gelato man from his youth, which was like maybe the most wholesome thing that happened our entire trip. Like,
I was
crying in this gelato shop. But it was really great. I mean, Garda was, I think, maybe one of my favorite places we went.
Yeah.
It was so stunningly beautiful. And we swam in the lake and it was like just like magic.
Yeah, it was great. The best Aperol spritz I had was just sitting lakeside with my pals at this beautiful, beautiful restaurant that was playing some wonderful jazz music. And I kind of just had a moment where I was like, you know what? During the pandemic, I dreamt about this exact scenario. And it's kind of what got me through the pandemic and being at home. And so it was great to just have my dreams realized, and to be in a place so beautiful with my favorite people. It was just like, oh, stunning.
It was really great. Yeah, I think that's a place that I wish we stayed longer.
Yeah.
Like, I wish we had been there for longer. It was like, and we said this while we were there, we're like, it feels like Disney World. It feels like, yeah, it Epcot. Felt like
fairy tale, like, but like not in a bad way.
No, in a, the Venice best way.
It feels like Disney World in a bad way. That felt like a fairy tale book story.
It just was like, it was so quintessential, like what you think of if you like picture a small Italian lakeside town. Like, yeah, it looked exactly like what's in your head.
Yeah.
Everything was like colorful houses and like stucco siding and like archways and little greenery, flowers everywhere, like little cafes with tables outside and just like music wafting through the streets, great smells, people like laughing and having a good time. It was just like, it was very surreal.
Yeah.
That was, I think, one of my favorite places. And yeah, I think we just had like the best, most like relaxing time there. So 100%, if you're ever planning a trip to Italy and you want to go to Garda, do it.
Do it.
Because it was like phenomenal.
Yeah.
I don't think there would be like a bad place to stay there. Like, it was just like, it was so, so lovely. Then we went to bed. I don't know why I keep telling people like when we're going to bed, but obviously it was nighttime. And so we slept. And the next day we woke up early, got back in the car and made our way over to the Verona airport because it was time for our press trip day to Ferrari Trento.
It was so
a
fun.
Year in the making. We have kept in touch. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you know that back in October of 2022, at the Austin Grand Prix, we were lucky enough to have Matteo Lunelli, the CEO of Ferrari Trento, on our podcast. And he was so lovely and it was so much fun. And he was like, if you're ever in Italy, come see us. And we've just kept in touch with them since then. And they've been incredible. They sent us the big podium-sized bottles of Ferrari Trento for our photo shoot for our podcast cover art. And they're just wonderful people over there. So we let them know that we were coming to Italy for Monza. And they said, we have a press trip with some UK journalists going on. Would love to have you join us. So it was like a dream of a day, like dream of a day. We show up to this stunningly beautiful mansion. Villa,
yeah,
mansion, just like nestled in the mountains, just mountains and trees for as far as I can see. And it just had this like 15th century church on the property and just like the most incredible views and architecture that I've like ever seen.
Yeah.
We show up, they're giving us wine. They just like greet us with sparkling wine and like little canapes, little appetizers that they're passing around to us as we're standing there.
It was like just like a beautiful table set underneath the archways of the villa and
the veranda.
White pressed linen. It's gorgeous. It's a beautiful day.
Stunning.
The grass is perfectly trimmed. I was like, this is not a real place.
No, it felt like a movie set. I was like, this is actually fake. Everything we did on this trip, I was like, I think this is actually fake. Am I here?
we get treated to the lunch was amazing. Probably one of the best things I've ever eaten in my entire life.
Ever.
It was just so good.
What kind of pasta is that?
I don't remember the shape. It was
basically
like a rigatoni.
It's rigatoni, but it's bigger and kind of like flatter.
Yeah.
And it was in this like
tomato saffron sauce with like bacon breadcrumbs.
It was like, and then the most incredible focaccia I've ever eaten in my life.
Like, I'm so mad that I'll never achieve focaccia that good.
It was warm. It was delightful. Crunchy. And just like, oh. And just you like guys. Sopping up the rest of like the sauce. Oh my God. I'm drooling right now.
It was so good. I will be working the rest of my life to perfect that recipe.
I literally looked at Nicole and I said, write that down. Make this. It was so, so good.
It was.
So once we were, you know, perfectly full from that meal, we got to hike. First of all, they were like, are you sure you want to hike? I'm in sandals. Other people are in sandals. They're like, are you sure you want to hike? We're like, yeah, we're fine. Like, they're like, we can drive you. It'll take like 20 minutes, or we could walk and it'll take 10, because if you drive, you have to go all the way around. We're like, no, we're fine. We're cool. I've never been sweatier by the time we got to the top of this hike. But it was very fun and cool to like kind of hike through the forest to go up to the vineyard.
Yep.
And it's just like rows of grapes. We got to eat the grapes, which I don't know why in my brain, wine grapes, I thought they were not like sweet. Like, I thought wine grapes, like, you're not really supposed to eat them. I don't know. I felt like I heard that somewhere where it's like, they are not like sweet or something like that. But anyways, we got to eat them and they were so sweet.
So good.
I've never had a better grape. It was so good. Like so, sweet and just like burst in your mouth. Oh, so good. And just like, again, this winery is like tucked in the mountains.
Yeah.
You can't see any other houses from there.
We learned a little bit in our interview with Mateo that, you know, in order to kind of combat the climate change issues that they're facing, they have to kind of keep moving further and further up the mountain. So that was kind of their first iteration. We learned a little bit about how they're constantly making space up the mountain for even more vineyards. So, you know, in 10 years, that press trip's going to be a lot different. You're going to have to be wearing hiking boots to get up to those vineyards
because I'll be it's not going to be
doable. Yeah.
I'll be taking the ride offered to me. But it was really cool. I felt like they talked to us a lot about their sustainability efforts, and it was so interesting to me about like what they do to kind of make sure the biodiversity stays in their vineyards, and they're not kind of just like mowing down trees to plant these grapes and then kind of like leaving it at that. But it was really cool. They have like birdhouses all throughout the vineyard so that like indigenous birds are going there, and they like worked with local birders. I don't know. They like work with local like scientists and environmentalists to figure out the exact type of birdhouse and like food to put in there that will attract indigenous birds from that area to make sure that they still have homes. And then they also have pockets of the vineyard that has trees and foliage like that is from there that they leave there to keep the biodiversity going and like keep the ecosystem
bees. They keep bees nearby, and they don't need the bees for the
grapes
necessarily. But in the spring, in between all of the vines, they have wildflowers. And so the bees help pollinate the wildflowers. And then, you know, at the end of the season, they cut the wildflowers and use that as compost and fertilization. And so it's a very one big ecosystem that they keep intact, which I found super impressive.
Very. So that was like really, really fun. Once we kind of were done in the vineyards, which I was like, I could frolic these vineyards all day. I don't want to leave. So after that, we got to go to the winery itself and see kind of the cultivation process and got to see all of the grapes be like, it was so many grapes and they were just like dumping them and going up. And I was like, is this where we're stomping grapes? And they were like, we're not going to do that.
We don't do that
and
anymore.
And I was like, oh, damn it. That's what I was hoping to do. But we got to like taste wines at all different stages of fermentation, which was so cool.
Yeah.
Those, the like barely fermented, I was like, they were so sweet and delicious.
Grape juice tasted so good.
I was like, bottle this. Bottle this just like this. I want it. It was really fun and really cool to kind of like go along the fermentation process, and we got to try what would become rosé and what would become white wine and what would become red wine, which was really cool to kind of taste the differences and how they kind of progressed through that. Got to see like their wine cellars, which was crazy, and all of these like original machinery that they used and like these tools that they used to use to bottle the wine, which was awesome. And then we got to have some of the best Parmesan cheese I've ever had.
It was so good.
And drink like really, really expensive wine. And
vintage. It was just like so far out of our tax bracket. Like we were we'll like, never consume wine that expensive ever
again. And it was so good. And it was like, I remember when we, you know, interviewed Mateo, and he was like, this wine is meant to be paired with food. Like all of our wines are meant to be paired. So like, he's like, take a sip of the wine. Mm-hmm. Now take a bite of, we had breakfast tacos, and he's like, take a bite of the breakfast taco and then take another sip and like kind of see how it changed. And it was so true. Like I would take a sip of the wine and it was great. But then I would take this like little piece of Parmesan cheese and I would eat that and then take another sip of wine. And I was like, my mouth is exploding with flavor.
It was so good. It was so, so delectable.
Good.
And then the party kept going. We went back to the hotel, took a little siesta. And
there were no outlets in this hotel.
And then we got picked up and went to their Michelin star restaurant that they own, and had wine pairings with just this most
like 30 courses of
delicious
food.
Meal that we, you know, could have possibly ever.
I'll never eat food like that again, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like yeah. That was that, talk about being out of our tax bracket.
It was just like meal. So local and so creative to the region and mm-hmm. the local ingredients, and the chef was just really inspired by the Trento region, and I was just, you just felt it in all of the food, and
it was so such like creative dishes that were like mm-hmm. really like beautiful but also like really fun and playful. Like the one that came out, and it was like these little like tubes, and they looked like cigars.
Yeah.
And when they come out, we're all like, are these supposed to look like cigars? Because they really do. And they were. And in the, like, it looked like they came in like an ashtray. And at the bottom, there was stuff that looked like ash. But it was like, I don't know, cheese or something.
It was onion. It was like onion like powder or something. That looked like an ash. It was crazy.
It looked like ash. And so you were supposed to like take the thing that looked like a cigar and dab it in the ash. So then it looked like you were ashing. It was so cool. It was so cool.
And it's just very, it was just like, I was so impressed.
And we had the best conversations. Like the coolest people were on this press trip with us, like a couple of journalists, another creator, and just people that had such interesting stories to tell. I'm not going to give it away, but I did come up with my heist.
She did.
Kate, it was really cool.
It was very fun. Kate and I kind of looked at each other and we're like, how did we end up here with all of these people?
Nick looked at us and he was like, oh, fuck, did I end up here? It was awesome, though. It was a really good group. One of the coolest nights ever, I think. Like, I don't think I'll ever have an experience like that again.
Yeah. And, I mean.
Yeah.
It's only just beginning, babes, you know.
I know, but it was just, I don't know, your first gourmet Michelin star restaurant gourmet meal is something
you don't forget.
You don't forget that.
And so then the next day, you know, we all headed back to Monza. The everyone else on the trip was going to qualifying. We had not bought tickets for qualifying, and like 5 minutes into the car ride to Monza, Nick goes, I'm buying us tickets to qualify.
And we're our like, initial plan was to like dick around Monza for the day and like go to some restaurants and check out some hotels and like kind of create a travel guide for you guys. So sorry we didn't do that. Nick was like, I found $50 tickets. So we'll be going to the track today.
And we're like, so you know what? We'll be there. So we might as well go. So last minute, we went to qualifying, which I'm really glad we did because it was really fun.
So fun.
It was a really good qualifying experience.
It was fun to see the sprint race for F2.
Yeah.
That was really fun. There's just a really good vibe at that track. Like, there's a really good vibe from the people. Like, it's just so cool to be in, like, a Ferrari city. Like, it was just, like, it was really cool.
And it was good that day. It was good preparation for us, too, to go on Sunday because, like, I had gone a couple years ago, obviously, but since then people were like, oh, there's a token system and it takes forever and blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, we were expecting long lines and, you know, kind of disorganization. Yeah. But I think from the last year, they really figured it out. And so we were like, oh, this is like nothing like the people warned us about.
Yeah.
Which was nice. And then we got shuttled back to Milan at the end of the day with the rest of the Ferrari Trento group. And then we got, you know, we were so tired. We were like, we just want to sit in our hotel room. But we rallied. And thankfully we did, because we had some of the best pizza and pasta of our whole
trip. Yeah, we really did.
At this restaurant in Milan. And it was just like a really good restaurant. We'll put up all of our kind of our travel guide up on the website with like all the places we went, places we stayed, our recommendations. So, you know, that'll be up pretty soon. But just the best gnocchi I think I've had.
Oh my God. The vodka sauce on that gnocchi. Oh, it was a dream. It was so good. It was so good. And that pizza was amazing. Yeah. All of it was like really, really nice there. And then we were going to get gelato, but I got sick. Something was not agreeing with me.
She was not feeling well.
I was not.
So we went home, went to bed because we were tired and lame. And then Sunday race came. We get up. We have a little more of a leisurely morning. We stop at Starbucks. We get some coffee. We get some sandwiches.
We're being straight American.
We hop on the train. Thankfully, we were like, we plan on to get one train. That one got canceled, so we had to pivot, get on a different train, and we were like worried we weren't going to fit on the train. But then we went upstairs on the train and there was like no one up there, and I was like kind of looking around. I was like, this is crazy that the train didn't fill up because there were so many people behind us. Turns out no one just went to the upstairs, that it was just so packed downstairs and that no one
they couldn't even get to it.
Yeah. So a pro tip for anyone who's going next time, go to the upstairs part of the train. We didn't really have any issues with the shuttle. Shuttle was easy getting on.
Easy. They're long lines, but the lines move really quickly. Yeah. Like they do a really good job kind of, you know, you're going to wait in some lines, but they're efficient and you're not going to stand in a line where you're not moving.
Right.
If you're going to be in a long line, but you're going to be moving the whole time and like it's not like standstill, which I felt like was really, really nice because like you looked at it and it was so intimidating. You're like, oh my God, we're going to be standing in this line forever.
Right.
But it really didn't take that long, which was awesome.
And we were worried about timing wise because we had said that we were doing a meetup and we're like, oh my God, we're not going to make it. And then there was no problem getting in and we're like, great, we'll still be there. And so it was really fun to meet some of you guys who showed up, traded friendship bracelets with a few of you, which was so, so special. And it's always so fun to like meet people who are in our community because it's just, it kind of makes it real for Kate and I where, you know, you and I can go back and forth on Zoom all day and just talk about it, but to meet people who like actually care about the things that we say, it just reminds us that like this community is a special place, and like if we're ever kind of having a hard day, it's easy to kind of pull ourselves out of it by remembering that like people actually care about this community that we've built.
The meetups are so fun. I like love to also see like other people like meeting each other, and it's so fun. So we did our meetup and then we headed over to find our seats. We were at turn one, which was like incredible. Such a good spot, but we grabbed some, like we missed the driver's parade, but it was worth it because we missed it because we were at our meetup. So I didn't really care that much. And then we got some food and we got so many drinks because it was so fucking hot. It was so hot that day. Mm-hmm. It was so hot. So, and then we met up with some other friends that we knew that were there. And literally we're just like putting on a show for everyone else in those food lines. Like we were laughing so hard and like, it was so much fun. And so then we met a couple other of you guys who like came up to us while we were standing there, which was like, it's just very surreal when people kind of come up to us when like not at like a specific meetup. And we're like, oh my God, you recognize us? That's crazy. Insane. So some people came up to us, which was like so fun and cool. And then we went and we watched the race, which was, I mean, we talked about it on the podcast this week, but like so much fun.
Yeah.
It was a good race. It was a good race to watch from there. We did have a TV like right in front of us, which was nice to be able to kind of figure out what's going on. But yeah, grandstand 6A, good spot to be. Grandstand 6B might even have been better. But
C is probably the best.
C is probably the best. But yeah, a great spot to watch from. So much fun. After the race, we got back on the train. Maybe the hottest I've ever been in my life.
It was so hot.
It was hotter than my hot yoga studio. I was like, I think I might die on this train. But we made it back and then immediately got 70 euros worth of McDonald's.
Yeah.
We had a really big American day that day. We like started with Starbucks and then got McDonald's.
We were so hungry because we didn't eat anything from the Starbucks sandwiches that we had in the morning.
I know.
We only had beer and water. And then we got back and we were like, oh, we're actually going to die.
We're literally going to combust. We have to eat something. So we got McDonald's and we had, okay, it's just a fact that McDonald's in any other country slaps so much harder than McDonald's in the U.S. The pistachio McFlurry.
Yeah. Bussin.
I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah. It was so delightful. So we just like ate in silence and then we had some enrichment time because we had a 9:45 dinner reservation. So we were like, all right, we're going to have some enrichment time, have a little snack, have a little McDonald's and then head out, which, you know, we were kind of like, it's our, kind of our last night. Nick was leaving the next morning. It was with our friends who we were putting on a show with at the food and drink stands. And so we were kind of like, you know what, we're excited to go to dinner, even if it's late. So we show up to dinner. We close the place down. We
They're drink begging a lot us of to wine. Leave.
We have a lot of cocktails, but it's such they a fun time. They're absolutely
begging us to leave. They're like, please go. Please, it's like, time so for you to sorry. Leave.
It was a Sunday, so, you know, respectfully, we get it. But then, you know, we went back, went to sleep. Nick left in the morning. I didn't see him leave. I just kind of grumbled, bye, see you later.
He kissed me on the head, and I was like, bye.
And then Kate and I had a leisurely day where we just kind of were tourists in Milan. We scootered. We had brunch with the same
Scootered. We scootered. Yeah. This is Amazing Race Part 2.
Oh, yeah.
Because first of all, I'm going to need the scooter company Voy to make its way over to the U.S. because I have never ridden on a more luxurious scooter in my life. They had a place for me to hook my bag.
Yeah, it was right there. Good.
They had a little place for me to put my phone so that I could like navigate. It was like right in front. Oh my God, it was incredible. So I navigated Nicole and I from the hotel to brunch where we met up with our friends. And it was easy peasy. And then after brunch, we were like, all right, let's go over to the Duomo. So we get back on our scooters. We get back on the same scooters. They're still there. And it was chaos, but we made it. And Milan is just tough because there's some places that have bike lanes, and then the bike lanes just end, and then you're just scootering along with the cars.
And then I don't really know if we're allowed to be here. Yeah, and then I was like, we're gonna go under an underpass, and like, I don't need that for us right now.
This is a highway. I think that we're scooting on a highway right now. So I'm like, all right. I'm just going to keep the directions going, but I'm going to let it reroute because we're, like, not going to do this. We're going off. I find a man on a bike.
Kate's like, follow him.
Like, he knows where he's going. This is our Yoda right now. I'm absolutely not leaving this man. So we're following this guy. Like, you know, we're following him far enough behind that he doesn't know we're following him, but, like, close enough that we have eyes on him at all times.
Yeah.
So he's kind of leading the way for us. We're going over train tracks. We're, like, on cobblestones. We're all over the place. So we just keep kind of finding new bikers to follow as we make our way to where we have to go. And eventually we got there. So I felt like that was a check mark in the book for Amazing Race. We were like, we're doing good.
We made it. And, you know, we wandered through the park. We did some window shopping.
At best.
Yeah. We did some window shopping and then we said, let's grab a little drinky drink near the Duomo, do some people watching. We ran into Megan Robbie, who we had met at the meetup the day before. They were just happened to be in the area and spotted us. So we got some drinks with them, which was really fun.
So fun.
And then Kate and I said, we're going to do a little retail therapy. And we decided that we also needed to get 4 servings of gelato to make up for the nights that we had not had gelato on our trip. That was really ambitious of us. So we got 1 scoop of gelato. Then we decided to walk near this place that we had seen on TikTok that did these like crazy pieces of art with
it. It was like gelato. It was like gelato, like bouquet, flower bouquets.
Flower bouquets. Yeah. It was like at Dante's Cafe or something like that. But Kate and I could not figure out how to order. Like, we could, they were like, you have to pay somewhere else and like order with a ticket. And we were just like, we're so overwhelmed right now. Like, we're leaving. So we watched the guy make one of the bouquets and we said, that's enough for us. We're leaving. And then we went down the block and got actually really, really good gelato. I'm not mad about it because the gelato we got was like really good.
That sweet cream gelato was one of the best things I've ever had in my life.
It's so good. So then we wandered back and then we said, okay, we're going to buy these bags. We
pulled trig on them. We had like looked at them earlier and we were like, I think we like these. We both really wanted to get like a nice purchase for ourselves while we were there. And we found out that you can like get it tax-free and like you can get kind of like reimbursed for the Italian taxes at the airport. So we were like, that feels worth it to us. And so we had been eyeing these bags earlier and we were like, okay, if we're still thinking about them later, maybe we'll come back and get them. Yeah. So we were. Spoiler alert, we were still thinking about them. So we went back and we got ourselves some nice Italian leather bags, which was so fun.
Yeah.
Got some more gelato.
Got some more gelato and said we ate our gelato on the steps of the Duomo during golden hour.
Magic.
And then another step of our amazing race, we took the public transportation system. We took the subway during rush hour.
During rush hour,
we took the subway back to our hotel. And Kate said, Nicole, you have been talking about Osso Buco this entire week and we're going to get you some Osso Buco. So
I did some recon.
Found a place near our hotel that was so beautiful, so delightful. We shared a bottle of rosé, had a lovely little dinner for our last night. And it was just like, we just reflected on the week that we had and it was just wonderful.
It was like that dinner was really good. I finally got my spaghetti and like meat sauce that I had wanted all week. And it was just like a really delightful meal. I think it's really important to like close out a trip with like a dinner like that where you just like go to like, I think it's a good time to get like a nice dinner, like go somewhere that's really nice, kind of no holds barred, like get a bottle of wine, get the desserts. We got 2 desserts, like get the like meal that you've been wanting. Like, I think it's really nice to close out a trip like that because then it just feels like you're like tying it off with a bow.
Yeah.
And like you're just having like this really nice, and I think that was like what we did on Sunday for Nick. I think it was like a really great way for us to close out Nick's trip, and then we did it for ourselves the next night. I think it was like the perfect way to wrap up the trip. I think especially because like we hadn't really had a touristy day or like a day where we didn't really have plans. So that was just like a really great day for us to just like relax and like kind of do whatever we wanted.
Yeah.
And to finish out with that meal was really great.
Yeah. I loved it so much. And the next morning we had an early flight. So we hopped in the car and drove to the airport and c'est la vie. That was all she wrote. That's amore.
Yeah. Nicole slept like the whole flight. I read the entirety of Red, White, and Royal Blue. Didn't sleep once. Listened to like 7 albums start to finish.
I watched The Little Mermaid on with no sound. And then I turned on Luca, which I had a big theme. I had a big theme, fish out of water theme, and I fell asleep promptly into watching Luca, and then I just slept the rest of the time. And Kate's like, oh, why are you sleeping? You're not going to be able to sleep tonight. And then I slept for 14 hours.
Yeah, so did I.
So I'm certainly okay.
Yeah, I got home, and Nick was like, you have to stay up until at least 7. And I was like, I don't want to. Well, because we landed in New York, and then I still had like 2 hours until my connection to get me to Cape Cod, and I was like, please just get me home. Luckily, my flight was not delayed, which usually the flights from New York to the Cape are like get delayed at some point, but I was not, which was very nice.
Thank God.
Yeah, now we're home, and I'm sad. So
well, we decided that we think our next international circuit is going to be Zandvoort. So we got to start planning that.
I literally can't wait. Yeah, you know how much I love Amsterdam. So I'm like so psyched to be back. Nick has already said it like 10 times since we've gotten home. And he's like, I'm so down for Zandvoort next year. Like, I'm so down for Zandvoort next year. And I'm like, okay, it's happening. So we're already planning it. If you guys are listening and you've been to Zandvoort or you live there, or like it's a track that you've been to and you like it, like send all of your tips our way, where to stay, what to do. We will be making like a bigger trip out of it, like we did with Italy this year, but like super excited. I'm really excited for that one. I think that's gonna be really fun.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
So who's to say, maybe we'll be in Vegas, fingers crossed. But that might conclude our Grand Prix trips for the year 2023. Hopefully we'll see more action in 2024, but we all know 2023 with the wedding and all the things going on was a little bit of a wash for us. So
it was a big year. It was a big year. It was a busy year. And I feel like we did as much as we could this year.
Absolutely.
And that's okay. I feel okay with that. Well, in 6 weeks, I won't be planning a wedding anymore. So that's crazy. That's crazy.
Time flies when you're having fun.
I'm stressed. Anyways, that was our trip to Italy. It was so much fun. Highly recommend doing like a fun trip to Italy with your best friends.
I mean,
it was a great time.
Long story short, go on a trip to Italy with your friends.
So if you guys can do that, highly recommend. But also I think it's like a real, I think it was a theme too, that everyone that we met, we were like, oh, so like, how long are you in Italy for if you're here for Monza? And like everyone was doing a bigger trip. And I think it's just like, it's so much fun to go to these races that aren't really close by to be able to like make
it a
bigger experience. Like if you have the means to do that, I think it's like a really great way. And I know it's funny because we used to like laugh at it and like the first like races that you went to and you're like, I don't want to play my vacations around like F1. So and like with now it's so funny because I'm like, it's actually a perfect way to plan a vacation is like around this because like two birds, one stone. Really so funny.
Like, wow, time. It's just, and like we said on the story, we reclaimed Monza. It was just an incredible
trip. And you
want to
know what? I feel like at this point we reclaim Monza and we can retire that narrative.
We're done.
That narrative is over.
Done.
Now when people ask how we got into F1, like we just say like we start watching together.
Yep.
Origin story of TG1F no longer involves that because we have equilibriumed
we rewrote the history books on that.
We equilibriumed. Yeah, this is history erasure.
It's fine. All right. I think you guys have heard us talk enough this week.
I sure have.
It's time for us to go. We need a little separation from each other. but until next time, we'll see you guys on the internet.
We'll see you on the internet.
Bye.
Ciao.